What's up, you beauties? Welcome to High and Wide Radio, episode 30 of season 6. I'm your host, Jim Eichelbone, joined by Jack Smith. If you're watching us live on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed and set an alert for future shows. And if you're listening as a podcast, make sure you're listening and subscribed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to get notifications for future episodes the minute we upload them, Jack. Not the show that I think anybody wanted to do tonight. Flyers, obviously, their 2023-2024 season comes to a disappointing end. The 2-week lull ultimately did them in, but they got they got no help along the way, and they lost tonight in a game that they actually, you know, had to win for, you know, anything potentially to happen. But what I want to get to first is I want to get to your raw emotions here. And, you know, some of the listeners and viewers as they kind of fall into the comment section here. But, Jack, Flyers lose a hard-fought game tonight. They obviously needed to win, pulled the goalie in the third period, got scored on instantly. You would assume they didn't know what was going on in the Detroit game. You know, we'll talk about all that eventually in the show. But, you know, how are you feeling now? Did what you saw tonight give you any encouragement, you know, heading into next year? Or are you kind of still focused on, man, this sucks?
I can't be too much in the man, this sucks camp, because it does. But at the end of the day, if they did make the playoffs, was I really all that excited for a potential shellacking from the Rangers? You know, even though I felt they played them good for most of the year with just a recent victory, playoffs are a whole different, you know, animal. And I wanted this team to make the playoffs, and I wanted them not to just make the playoffs and say they made it, but actually have a decent showing. And that's something that we thought they could have had a couple of weeks ago, maybe closer to a month at this rate. But now they're like a shell of their former selves. You could tell they were playing that third period. I think the pressure really got to them, and they were kind of running out of, you know, they were running out of time, and they felt it. They were, you know, really gripping their sticks and forcing plays, and you could just tell they were out of sorts. And it was a shame, but ultimately I didn't think they had the horses to do anything in the playoffs worthwhile, except for potentially get swept or maybe gentlemanly swept. And either way, I wasn't too gung-ho about that. So when I'm watching the game, I'm all for them winning. I felt they got robbed. You know, you have a referee whose one job is to watch the play and watch the puck. It was almost reminiscent of the Saints game back in the day. I can't remember who they were playing, but the guy was clearly interfered with, and the referees came out and said, like, we didn't see the play. I'm like, you didn't see the play that the ball was intended to go to, the player was intended to go to? What the hell are you doing out there? And you got a referee looking at the play, puck goes up in the air, these guys are supposed to whistle when it goes out. It's like, I'll whistle it dead because I lost sight of it. And then they're saying it bounced off the Flyer, that's why it doesn't count. Where if it would have bounced off the Washington Capitol, it could have counted according to the rules. It's like, geez, like you texted the fixes in, and I laughed. And you know, it was a hard fought game. It was tough. I thought they played pretty well, but the third period just felt like everything mounted. They had all the showings of a young team for the most part, even though some of them aren't that young. But you know, it's what it looked like. They were really pressing. I thought Ersson looked good tonight. I thought they did everything they could. Even the goal he gave up was deflected off of Ovi. You know, like, what are you going to do? Hit off his body? You know, yeah. I thought overall they played well. I wouldn't say they fell apart in the third, but they just didn't have it. They didn't have enough to get them over the hump. You really could use a superstar in those situations to, you know, be a game changer. Unfortunately, it is what it is, and ultimately it didn't matter because Caden Primo hates the Flyers. He flat out forgot that he, you know, grew up here and his dad played here, as he went full J.O., giving up two just like what the F goals. If you look at that game, he had one where he made a save, the puck deflected up in the air, and he's looking at the ref for like a penalty. It lands, guy puts it right between his legs. Like, what was I supposed to do something? And then he had one of the good old, you know, Steve Mason's right up against the post where they shoot it on net and somehow finds its way into the net. they still had the game won, and they gave it up with 3 seconds left. So it ultimately didn't matter.
I just want to say that I was the first one, and unfortunately, I was the first one up here to realize that. I had the game on one side of my screen and Twitter on the other, and even before the Flyers box saw that goal, because they have the games on in their box there, I saw the goal, whispered down the lane. I didn't even have to look over. I could hear the Flyers box groan, multiple groans after that Detroit goal, because that was it, unfortunately.
That's unbelievable. 3 seconds left. They're winning that whole game. They're giving Detroit every opportunity to get back into it. And then you, regardless of who makes the playoffs at that point, you know the Flyers are done. It's like, come on, man. Like, are you serious? And now I'm watching the game, and I was just like, well, what the hell does it matter now? Yeah. So I guess I'm glad they lost in regulation. Well, it doesn't matter if it's regulation or not, but I'm glad they lost. I guess it's a slightly better pick potentially. I don't know. It's
I think as things stand now, the Flyers have the 12th pick. Obviously, they do the lottery and whatnot. I was kind of happy. So I think Detroit scored almost immediately after the Flyers ended up pulling the goalie. And, you know, Detroit essentially eliminates the Flyers. And then right after, Washington scores and essentially eliminates Detroit. So imagine, you know, the elation that Detroit felt for that, you know, 30 seconds or whatever, and then finding out you're eliminated from the playoffs because the Flyers pulled the frigging goalie with 4 minutes left. You know, like, how about that?
Yeah, I mean, if they'd have scored earlier, maybe the Flyers don't pull the goalie, but, well, that's what happens. We can do That's life. We know that. It's a shame. 8-game losing streak. You win one of those games and another goes to overtime. We're not even having this conversation. It's a real shame, but I wouldn't call the season a loss. I feel like so many players progress, some of the young players. We definitely know what players we have to get rid of. We definitely know some changes we have to make. We also know some hard decisions we have to make. This offseason should, emphasis on should be very interesting. I guess the big question I have to ask is how much of this is Tortorella's fault, and can you not wait for him to be fired?
So I don't want him to be fired. I think I saw a tweet earlier today, actually during the game, that said fire Torts, but I don't know how serious that account was. You know, throughout the game today, this is what I noticed. I feel like for the majority of the season, not that Torts was not in control of this team at the end, but majority of the season, they played the way you expected them to play, I think, right? Like they went balls to the wall every single game.
Essentially, for the most part.
As things started to, not, I don't want to say spin out of control, but maybe let's say Torts has this team under control. As things sort of came out of his control a little bit, I noticed, I don't know if they were characteristic things or uncharacteristic, but things were different a little bit. And, you know, maybe we haven't seen this part of Torts. And let's remember, too, I think this is extremely important. This is year two of the supposed rebuild, right? So,
year one.
So let me back up just a little bit here. So a few weeks ago, and I mentioned this on the pregame, too, Tortorella gave a couple of answers that sort of made me question things a little bit. And it went something like, I think whoever asked the question asked him, hey, did you talk to the guys before this game? And more than once, he gave the same response. No, I don't have anything to say to them before the game. This is a good group. I trust them. They know it's a big game. They don't need to hear it from me. I'm not going to insult them and make sure that they're ready, because I know that they're ready. And I thought that was weird, because even if it was uncharacteristic, in my opinion, from Torts. And it made me wonder, why is he doing that? Don't you want to just make sure? Don't you want to make sure they're ready just in case? I would, you know? So I had that question. And today, I think I mentioned it earlier, I had like a light bulb thing. It was a test. It was a test the whole time. Are these guys ready to do it on their own? Let's see where they're at. And they failed. You know, they still needed somebody up their ass before games, making sure they're ready to play, you know, and go out and win these games. They were losing games 9-3 to Montreal, 6-2 to Columbus. That's not a playoff team, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is they still need Torts to kind of hold their hand. They're not ready to go out and do it on their own kind of thing yet. So encouraged by what I saw in the last three games, Sam Ersson, I thought, played pretty well, had a shutout the other night against, you know, somewhat of a listless Devils team. But tonight, the Capitals were trying to make the playoffs. I think they finished with 18, 19 shots, only scored one goal on Ersson. Thought he played well. But, you know, back to Torts, Jack. Tonight I had some questions. You know, so three guys were benched and benched since the second period. I want to say right around when the Flyers scored, if not just before. Morgan Frost, Bobby Brink, and Cam Atkinson all benched. Now, you know, you hear Atkinson's benched. I don't think anybody really bats an eye. Bobby Brink's benched. You know, the game ended up becoming a little bit more fast-paced and physical. And, you know, when you think Bobby Brink, at least for me, I think small and slow. So if you want to make an argument to why he was benched, that's mine. He was coughing the puck up along the wall, losing some board battles. Nothing major, but this was a game where you can't be coughing up the puck. Morgan Frost, I'm going to watch the first and second period tomorrow morning. There were a couple plays that stood out to me where I was like, oh, like, you know, he's kind of giving the puck away, or there was something there that I didn't really like, but nothing that's, you know, nothing that's standing out to where I'm like, yeah, I can understand why you'd bench Frost. What he ended up doing was shortening the bench. You're running three lines against a team like the Capitals that should have been running on fumes. Now, I know adrenaline would have played a factor, but Washington, this was their third game in three nights. They played Tampa Bay Saturday. They played Boston last night in a 2-0 win. And obviously they had the Flyers tonight. And you could see the Flyers, they took this game over after they scored. But it was right then, after they scored, the bench was shortened up to three lines. And, you know, I mentioned the three players. I don't know. To me, it almost felt like we saw a lot of Poehling. We saw a lot of Couturier. Obviously, we saw a lot of York and Sanheim. The Capitals made it tough, so I don't want to put this all on the Flyers. Caps clogged up the neutral zone, made it really tough for the Flyers to get out of their own zone. They looked like the more veteran team to me, the Carlsons, Ovechkins, the Wilsons. They've all been there. But having said that, you have fresh guys. Why are you wearing out the three lines when you have the opportunity of, you know, a guy like Morgan Frost is going to create offense, you know? He's a puck-carrying guy. Let him take on the D. Owen Tippett was doing that. So that move was a little bit of a head-scratcher for me. Like I said, I'll go back and watch tomorrow, but it's the last game of the year. If, you know, if you're trying to send a message, man, Jack, what a message that is, right?
For a lot of things that I, you know, talk about with Torts, and just to reiterate, he will be coming back, Hilferty said. So you can, all those jokes can be put aside. I don't understand why a guy like that, when you're already lacking, you know, just center depth, you're saying he'd have to have done something pretty egregious to have been stapled to the bench like that. And when the going got tough, I would hope that he would have gone out there in some, you know, way, shape, or form. It's very strange. It's very odd. Charlie O'Connor had a tweet that pointed out that, like, Atkinson was at the end of the bench where he was out, but Brink and Frost were still at a part of the bench in the middle where they were rotational. So I expected to at least see Frost. So I really hope that gets addressed. I want to know why. I'll never sit here and tell you that Torts is the perfect coach and he does everything perfect and he's wonderful. He makes mistakes. Never met a coach that didn't, but I do want an answer to this one. This isn't as bad as some of the overtime deployment, but in a game like this where you're allegedly trying to win here and this guy barely sees the ice, what's going on? Is he hurt? Is he like, you're nursing an injury here? Like, what is going on? Why wasn't this guy seeing the ice in some way, shape, or form? And it's very strange. I don't like it because I like to, I don't want to say defend, but you can say defend, but understand like some of the moves he makes, a lot of that being for the future. Cause let's not forget, playoffs are not a priority, quote Keith Jones. But you're in a situation like this. This is the perfect opportunity for a big game. Jimmy brought up how he didn't want to remind the team that they needed to get up for a big game like this. They should already know. However, if you're behind the bench, like your best players need to play the game. Your best players, your most talented players need to be out there when you need to score a goal. You're not defending the lead here. It's not like we're up 2-1 and we need to lock it down. That's not what happened here. You needed to score. So Frost should have played. I don't understand why he did not. I want answers. I hope we get them. We shall see. But I am not happy with that decision as it stands. Ultimately, it didn't matter, but that's not the point. This team didn't know it didn't matter until there was no time, pretty much until they gave up the empty net goal. So, yeah, I'm not going to be happy with that. It's not the end all or be all, but I am not happy with that.
They were buzzing. After they scored, it was all Flyers for the rest of that second period. I would have liked to have seen, you know, what you hear from a lot of people, their most talented offensive player, or one of them, on the ice. So, yeah, I mean, there are questions, and maybe they were answered. We'll find out in a little bit here. But, yeah, I was surprised by that. I mean, so I still try to pick positives out. And, you know, maybe it doesn't feel right to try to be positive after a night like tonight, after a season like tonight. You know, but the Flyers gave us exciting hockey. At the end of the season, they didn't make the playoffs, but on the very last day of the year, I almost did a half fist pump up here when they scored that goal. And you know, you're not, you know, it's frowned upon, obviously.
I've been there.
And I never do that, but when they got the goal, I went, you know,
I don't know how you don't. I really don't know how you hold back up there. I couldn't.
Well, it was interesting, and it was the first time I was able to experience that up here where. Even people in the media section wanted them to win. You know what I mean? It was, you know, obviously the fans want them to win and things like that, but it just had that vibe up here and it was fun. It was a fun, what is it? Second or third to last day of hockey and the Flyers were a part of it, you know? So, hopefully they can build upon that heading into next year. And instead of being, you know, instead of overachieving next year, they achieve because you know, fortunately or unfortunately, that's going to be the expectation from fans, right, Jack, is to build upon this. And I don't know if that's the right move or not, you know. I don't know if, like, is this the team that you want to add to, Jack, as is?
Not as is. I would not say as is. There are some people that need to get moved and some big decisions you need to make. I still think we need to see what we have with our goaltending. I'm not ready to say we're locked in. I think most people aren't. Look, Ersson got the short end of the stick. He did the best he could. I'm not ready to say he's our guy. You know, I have high hopes, but I'm not ready to say that, which is, I think the organization feels the same way. They have plenty of guys coming. Defense needs work. Let's be real. We do not have a number one defenseman. I mean, when you build around a team, you build around a number one center and defenseman. This team has neither. But there are a lot of pieces. They have a lot of pieces that it's hard to find. The tough decisions are going to come with, like, the Travis Konechny's. Like, do you re-sign him or do you trade him for a haul that helps you potentially get the number one center or number one defenseman? And it's like, how could you trade Konechny? It's like, well, it's a good question. He's very, very good. He's our best player, especially offensively where we tend to lack. But you signed Owen Tippett. You have Farabee. There's another name that can be moved. You have a Forrester. You have a plethora of guys. But you lack at center. You got Coots, who has looked old at times this year. Potentially, hopefully, that's just because of lack of play. Frost, what's going on with Frost? How's his organization and coaching staff feel about him? Thought he turned it around this season, yet and when it matters most, he has 9 minutes of ice time. Thank you, Sturdy, for that one. I mean, that's not exactly somebody you rely upon. Did they have something in Paling and the Hathaway and the Cates line? Like, there's a lot of what ifs with this team. But we do know they still need a number one center and a number one defenseman. And those guys, the only way you get something like that is by making some big trades and making some big draft picks. And they're going to be drafting at the most, what, 12th this year? That's their best 12. Bet?
Like, they can still, you know, lottery odds, yada, yada. But right now they're set at 12.
I mean, it's not exactly the deepest of drafts. So you might get lucky, might get somebody, but odds are it'll be a top six player. You know, you're not getting your number one center or defenseman like we going into this season thought we had a chance at. So you have, I really hope that Danny gets creative this offseason. I hope he has some balls. I hope that he trades some players that you, it's almost a trade where you're like, I don't know if I'd have traded that guy, but the return is so good too that you're like, well, we needed that. So whatever happens, happens. So we'll see. It's good. It should be very interesting. And if it's not, we might be in some trouble.
Yeah. You know what? As much as I was like, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, I'm fine. I wasn't ready for the season to be done. I don't think, you know, it's what are we in? We're in April, mid-April. I wanted some more of this, you know, but I wanted the good Flyers. I didn't want the 8-game losing streak Flyers. Like I was done with that.
And, that's what makes me feel better about all this, because a month ago, a month and a half ago, maybe even longer ago, this team was pushing the Rangers at one point. Like, yo, we're coming. We're like 5 points back. We're coming. And we had, obviously they had games in hand, but still we should have never been in that position. Then it was like, all right, it's us and Carolina. It's going to be us and them. Who gets home ice? Then it was like, okay, I hope we make the freaking playoffs at this point. Like it started to slowly fall apart. Our expectations have changed, you know? So what you do is you retool in a sense, because you have to make your rebuilding moves, which they did. They traded Walker for a first. They have to do what they can in the offseason. They have to, at some point, look for a center, a number one center or number one defenseman. No way you get both, but there's potential there. Is the Zegras a name that could be traded? We'll see. They have a working relationship with Anaheim. But in the small, that's like the bigger picture, major move stuff. And the smaller stuff, you can say, we have a lot of players here that we can work with. We have the Tippetts. We have the Cates. We have the Hathaways. They have the Palings. Where the hell did Paling come from? York had a great year this year. I know Sanheim won the defensive trophy this year for the team, but York got most improved. York probably should have won the defensive trophy this year, if you ask me. We have a lot of guys at goaltending. We have to see what we have in the future. You signed a lot of guys. You got a lot of guys under contract, believe it or not. So we really have to see what we can add to this team. We're in a weird spot where it's like usually you get your number one center defenseman or goalie and then add. I feel like we have the ads already. We have to go get the top guys. So it'll be interesting. I don't know what he's going to do or how he's going to do it, but it's going to have to be creative.
That's for sure. And I just want to address a couple comments here. So this is from Mike Dunn. I'm a pissed off Flyers fan. I imagine there's a lot of us out there throwing our goalie out in a tie game. Why? So the Flyers needed to win tonight, Mike. If this game went to overtime, Flyers and Capitals, it would have eliminated the Flyers. So they needed 2 points in regulation, which is why you saw the goalie pulled. I think it was around 4 or 5 minute mark. And yeah, so that's why. Yeah.
Do or die.
There was another comment here. Get rid of Konechny. Yeah, I don't know if he stinks, Mike, but they definitely could have used a little bit more. And they could have used a little bit more from a lot of guys down the stretch.
I can't help but feel that he's playing hurt a little bit. I don't think he's fully healthy at all. I really don't. I see some explosion out of him. I see some top quality plays, but nothing like we saw earlier in the season. I don't think he's 100% right now. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I hope so. He was trying to, you know, pull his team into the game at points tonight. It's going to be interesting. You know, we keep talking Farabee, and I mentioned Brink the other night. But, you know, if this is a rebuild, Konechny doesn't really match the age of a lot of these guys. You know, and I'm not saying I want to trade him, because I don't. I really like Travis Konechny, but it would make sense with what, you know, they're potentially trying. I just hope that they're not looking at this team, this roster, and saying this, but we need to add to it. And here you go. Dev Null brings up a great point, Jag. I was having a conversation with somebody up here about Konechny before the game and mentioned exactly this. I like Konechny, but is he really going to fit a Michkov timeline? You know, Michkov is going to be playing on that top line in probably Konechny's spot, you know? So I don't know. We're going to see. They just put the A on his jersey. Are they going to really trade him now? I'm into trying to connect dots or whatever. It was that sort of a bribe, like, hey, like, we're going to put the A on your chest. Can you, you know, help us out a little bit with the extension amount? Like, because we're not touching nine kind of thing. You know, I don't know how important the A is for Konechny, but, you know, just something to put out there.
They got a plethora of wingers, so it's somebody's going to have to go. If there is not a winger traded off of this roster, and I'm not talking about somebody at the bottom, you know, somebody legitimate, and the two names come to mind, and it seems like they have to make a decision. Are they going to trade Farabee in some kind of deal to get a need of theirs, or are they going to trade Konechny to get a plethora of prospects and picks back? Or I can't see a player for player deal, but something. One of the two has to happen in my eyes. Unless you pull some other trade out of your hat that I don't see coming, but they're not going to trade Forrester. Why would they trade Forrester? They just re-signed Tippett. So who's the winger they're trading at that point? I'm not saying you trade both, but you got to trade somebody. In my opinion, I don't see them rolling into next season with both those guys on this roster simply out of necessity to getting ready for when Michkov is here. Something's got to give, and it could be either one. It could be both. I seriously doubt that, but it's got to be one or the other. And I understand the arguments behind not re-signing TK and what he'd be making potentially. And then when Michkov is here, and it's not just when he gets here, it's not like he's going to walk in and be Ovechkin. Like, it's going to take some time. So, like, he'll come in, he'll get acclimated, he'll, you know, what have you. And, you know, Konechny could be 34 years old at that point, making potentially 8.75, which could be a serious problem. I mean, Marchand's held up his end of the bargain for a while, and he's a very similar player, but you don't want to roll the dice. Everybody's different. You want that cap space. You want the right players here. So it's going to be, and you also have to fill needs. How are you going to fill those needs when you're just missing the playoffs and getting the 12th pick at best? Like, that could be tough. That could be really tough. So they're going to have to make some tough decisions. I hope they have the balls to do so, and I hope they have the creativity to make it make sense.
That's for sure. You know, we'll see what happens. Konechny is not a guy that I want to move, and maybe a lot of people don't want to move him, but, you know, if they really want to rebuild this thing, if they really want to, you know, bring in young talent, high-end talent, you know, maybe it's Konechny. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I do want to ask you, Sam Ersson, did he do enough this year for you to go into next year comfortable with him as your number one starting goaltender?
Well, that depends on the expectations. My number one starting goaltender in a year two of a rebuild? Yes, he did. My number one starting goaltender in a year where we're ready to attempt to actually make the playoffs, well, that's our purpose. I can't say that. And it's not all his fault, but I can't say that. He was overplayed. He struggled at times. There were games where the other team had 15 shots and he gave up 3 or 4 goals. That's not good. And I know some of those goals were prime opportunities, but I did not see enough to be like, yeah, he's the guy. And that's not on him. He was put into a very bad situation. I think on my list, he's up there. He's like, yo, this guy is a gamer. He is definitely a guy we can rely upon on. But I'm a very big sample size guy, and everything context is key. When I look at this season and I see he gave us a big sample size, most of it was good. But the bad stuff, context is key. He doesn't tend to start off the season very well, which leads to his first 2 or 3 starts being pretty rough. And he ran out of gas. You cannot start a young kid like that as often as you can. Torts admitted to have gambled on that because he really had no choice with Hart. And Sandstrom gave you nothing. Peterson gave you nothing. But Otoff was still on his way over. And what do you have in that guy? His glove isn't even broken in yet. So you kind of had to roll with what you had. And he deserves another season for me to truthfully answer that question. Luckily, we're not going for it next year, so we should have another year of what do we have? And he's going to be a big question mark. However, he has my confidence.
And that's interesting what you said there is, you know, year three of Torts, is it going to be another year of what do we have? And I think a goaltender, it's unfortunately it is. You know, I know, you know, Torts has a lot of faith and confidence in Erson, and it's going to be a different year. He went into the season thinking he was going to play 20, 25 games. They told him that, you know? So I think mentally you're prepared to only just by default when you hear, 20, 25 games in your head, it's like, all right, my 20, 25 games are coming. When you start to get up 30, 35, 40, I think mentally it's like, now you start counting. Whoa, I'm playing 10 more than I'm supposed to, 15, 20 more than I'm supposed to. You know, I was wondering if that maybe takes a toll on you mentally. And then obviously your body physically, you know, blame Carter Hart. If you're looking for a scapegoat for this entire season, unfortunately, or whatever, it's one guy, Carter Hart. I have to go back and look up the record, but I think it's like 9, you know, 17-5 or something like that since Carter Hart was on the team. So things haven't been great for a while. I think they just, you know, was punctuated towards the end. And I'll be honest with you, Jack. I'm almost glad it was kind of punctuated with that. Just to show, you know, whoever in the Flyers needed to see that hey, this team's not close. You know, maybe they looked like they were close for a lot of the year. They were in every single game, beat some really good teams. They showed you at the end they're not close. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll see big moves. I think we might see big subtractions. We'll see. I'm not sure what's going to happen in the offseason. I don't want to. It's everything's too raw to try to predict. So we'll see. But I think they have an idea of what they want to do with goaltender. Obviously, Erson Fedotov's over here. Kolosov just played his first game in Lehigh Valley. So they have three guys, right? And the defense, you know, they trade for Drysdale, which, Jack, at some point over the summer, we're going to have to rehash this Gauthier thing because I found out some stuff tonight. And if, you know, everyone listening, watching, you want to hear some stuff, you better tune in over the summer because this is juicy, juicy stuff. And that's all I'm going to give you now. I'm going to do a little bit of research tonight because, honestly, I can't wait to put this timeline together, but found out some stuff. We'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. Not tonight. So sorry about that. Stay tuned. Anyways. I'm kind of glad all year, Jack, like I feel like every show we looked at their schedule and I'm like, yeah, this is where it's coming. Like, this is where they get, you know, the season kind of derails a little bit. This is where they're going to let us down. And they didn't all year long until the end of March, early April, which is so Philadelphia to do because they keep you in it all year and then break your heart kind of thing. Like, I think most fans didn't expect much from them this year. But then they kept winning, you know, and they started beating teams like the Winnipeg Jets and the Vegas Golden Knights and the Vancouver Canucks and all these teams. And it's like, well, I remember the game still when I was like, all right, I guess we're going to be rooting for the Flyers to make the playoffs here. And that was when they beat the Colorado Avalanche the first time they played earlier in the season. And they looked good. They were taking it to them in Colorado. And I said, okay, well, I guess I'm bought in here. So I understand, you know, that people are, you know, upset and dejected and let down because they're in a playoff spot for most of the season. And to fall out of the spot in the final days it's heartbreaking. If you're sold on watching Flyers hockey, your heart's broken. I wasn't, to be honest with you. Not that I didn't want them to make it, or not that I wasn't happy that they were winning, because I was. But I wasn't as bought in as I guess maybe I would have been in the past, you know. There you go. Mike Dunn expected the Flyers to be the worst team in hockey before the season started. And, you know, the thing that I'm worried about, Jack, is they got where they are with hard work. And I don't want them to think that they can win a Stanley Cup just based on outworking other teams, right? I mean, I would rather watch teams that will bust their ass for 60 minutes a night. Like, how many times have you heard a player say, we need to play a full 60? Remember we used to hear that shit all the time?
All the time.
When, I mean, you don't hear it anymore, though, like, because they're giving you 60 minutes of hockey. They have the culture changed. The hard part maybe now is finding the talent and sprinkling it in. Like, you can scan the NHL for centers that might be available. There are none that fit what you want to do with this team. You know what I mean? So it sounds very easy when we say it, and I say it all the time. I'm guilty. Oh, this team needs a 1C and a 1D. Oh, because they grow on trees, right, Jim? Like, how many Miro Heiskanens are there? How many Victor Hedmans are there? How many Cale Makars are there? You know, these guys are rare. These guys are workhorse, top pair defensemen, you know, that can change a game just by being out on the ice. You know, they're not top pair guys by default because they play 25 minutes a night. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, but, and then also, like, what team is trading these guys? They're so hard to get. So what? This team's just going to give this guy up. You know, we make it sound a lot easier, I think, but those positions are going to be hard to get. And then with Hart out, now you need to make sure you have a goalie. I have faith in Sam Ersson. He was in Calder conversation for a hot minute. I like Ersson a lot. I'm excited to see what they have in Fedotov and Kolosov. We'll see. Next year's, like you said, Jack, next year's another year where we're going to be evaluating talent. I hope they don't do anything over the offseason that's like it's playoffs or bust. I hope they don't, because it doesn't have to be yet. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I find it interesting that, like, we have next year and then we have one more year, and that'll be 2026, the final year. And that's like the final
26, yeah.
So that's like the final year of Torts' contract. And that should be when Mishkov arrives. Like, I think there's something to that, like, for sure. I think there's a reason. I think they have a plan. They've said all year playoffs are not the priority, Keith Jones. And there's a reason for that. Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be like jumping the timeline in a sense that these guys are getting playoff experience, but like there's a lot more things they need to focus on now. And then what I like is they're not putting all their eggs in the basket of they need a top 10 pick and top 5 pick, because one, these guys don't always pan out, and we've learned that more than any other team recently.
Yeah.
But two, you know, the culture and building a team of that wants to win and doesn't take no for an answer. You know, we've had our lumps, we've had our ups and downs, but like ultimately they did not quit on the coach. And these last couple of games have proved that. You just got to get a team. You got to get these young guys up to snuff. You got to get these guys ready for when Mishkov comes, which is something that Torts has said. You know, we know what players we need to get rid of, whether that's by trade or by waiting out the contract. And then we know what positions we need to add. We have plenty of draft picks to make it happen, whether that's drafting or adding in trades. We have plenty of abundance of talent at certain positions where we should be able to make trades. So again, what we did this season is above and beyond what we thought they would do. Did it cost us a really good draft pick? Sure. It's not the end of the world. It's not, because there's enough here now that it should tell you we should be able to build up what we have. But a part of that is if our ballsy GM can make some ballsy moves. He traded Provorov last year. I thought he had a trade for Hart as well, which probably got nixed for specific reasons. They re-signed some guys. They made some other trades. They dealt with the Gauthier situation. Can they keep that momentum going forward? Can they show that they know how to build a hockey team and find talent and see talent and get that on their team and just get rid of the bad blood, bring in the new blood, bring in the blood that's going to make the young bloods good, and put together a winning hockey culture and then add a elite talent. Even then, it's not a finished product, but damn, will you be on the right track? And just go from there, see what you have. There's plenty of things this team can do in the meantime, plenty of things to evaluate and see what you have. I want to remind you, this is year two of Torts, but it's year one of the rebuild because Fletcher was still here last year and they were still doing whatever the hell they were trying to do last year. This is year two. This is year two coming up. You got to give them typical. Your rebuilds are like 4, 5, 6 years. If you're only getting 4 before Minchukov is here and with the talent they already have, you can't be too upset. The team in a rebuild, rebuild year one, just missed the playoffs. Should have never been anywhere near that. You can't be upset. If you are upset, it's because you expected playoffs and now you're just passing blame, which isn't unheard of. But it wasn't what was the priority because, yeah, we could have made the playoffs, but we're not winning anything. We're not doing anything. What should be the priority, number one, is taking steps towards when we do make the playoffs in the future, that one, we're there perennially, but also we have a chance to actually make some noise in the playoffs. That's what this team is building towards. That's what this team is trying to do. That's the culture we're trying to bring around here. Whether Torch is the guy when that time comes is to be seen. I don't think it is. But I cannot look at this past season and think it was a negative because of how it ended. Even with this loss, I felt the team finally pulled it together and played good the last 3 games of the season. Hang your hat on that. Go into the offseason. Briere, make some ballsy fucking moves. Brent Flair, make some great fucking draft picks. Get ballsy during a draft. Make some things happen. Get this fucking city excited again. And let's roll into year two of the rebuild looking like all we need is Michkov.
You know, I got to say something real quick because I think for a lot of the year, a lot of Flyers fans were buying back in. The building, you know, pretty quickly was getting more and more filled. I don't know if there were any sellouts, at least none that I was at. I noticed something tonight, you know, because like I mentioned, they were getting people to buy back in all year long with the new era of orange and whatnot. Flyers playing a lot better. I would say probably 35% of the fans in the building tonight were Capitals fans. And, you know, I guess, you know, maybe 50% were Flyers and then the other 15% were just empty seats. You know what I mean?
Wow, empty seats, huh?
A lot, yeah. And the Flyers did it to themselves, you know, with the losing streak. But,
true.
You know, it's going to take – I think I was surprised with how fast, you know, people were buying back in. But like I said earlier, I hope they see that, hey, this is going to be a little tougher than we thought. You know, there's some work to do here. So, yeah. Oh, Owen Tippett. You want to talk Owen Tippett? So Mike Dunn comments, what are your thoughts on Owen Tippett? I thought he had a great game tonight. He was flying all over the ice. What did he finish the season with? 53 or something odd points? Did he make 30 goals this year?
I think it was 28, maybe 29. But, I mean, for what you thought you had 2 years ago, I mean, he had a really good season last year.
Almost new career high goals, assists, and points, and he was hurt for a little bit.
And he was hurt. I mean, he hits 30 goals for sure if he doesn't get hurt. Excuse me. And he had some high-quality, ridiculous goals. He's only going to get better as time goes on. I think that trade, that extension, rather, is going to be a great look in the future. This is why that contract told me right there that players like Farabee are probably going to be expendable. If not connecting, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like a 55, you know, potentially 60-point guy, 30-30 season. Tippett's a good player. I would like to see a little bit more consistency, but maybe that's because of the injury. So he missed, I think, 4 games this season, but when he came back, he didn't quite look like himself yet. So maybe he was still nursing the injury a bit. So, in a fully healthy season, we might have seen a 30-30 season from Owen Tippett. And he's going to be a weapon. You know, big, he's got a big body, potentially, you know, power forward build. can take on defenders one-on-one. He was taking on Capitals D 1v3 tonight. Like, they had a lot of guys back. They weren't going to let the Flyers, you know, it wasn't going to be easy for the Flyers. So, you know, the only way you're getting in the Capitals zone tonight is you were dumping the puck in or you were taking them all in 1v3, 1v4 kind of thing. But yeah, Tippett's going to be a fun player for years to come, I hope.
Tippett might be one of my favorite players right now. I'm just saying he's exactly what you could have asked for more. And if they actually do take that next step, that ballsy step, and move a TK or Farabee or whoever, and get that center or top defensive player, I assume it's a center, with a draft pick, with whatever assets they have, then you're really looking like you're in good shape.
So Anthony Mayo comments here, if you were granted one wish on one move this offseason, what would it be? Mine is buy out Michkov contract and have him here for game one in October. It sounds crazy, Jack, because it takes me back to that tweet. And I had to look to see who was over the edge there because it takes me back to the Bedard tweet. Is it too early for Bedard? And it's like, you know, is the team ready for Michkov to come over? Like, do they have to start his contract? Because that's what is I think it's an ELC. Michkov is going to be playing on an ELC. The longer it takes him to come over, the more he, you know, develops over there. Like, you could potentially have a 21-year-old Matvei Michkov on an ELC. You know, get what I'm saying? Like, he I don't know. If you wait the 2 years, he's matured more physically, and you could have a potential star playing for league minimum on the ELC is my point. So, I, while it's selfishly be fun to watch him play for the Flyers next year, I'm not in a rush. This team didn't make me want to rush Michkov over. Did they do that for you?
No, before everything you just said, like, I'd rather continue the rebuild, add as many assets as we can, get as many things as we can. So when he does come over naturally and he's on the ELC, guys like Tippett and Forrester are really hitting the ground running. You could pay those guys. You can manage your contracts. Excuse me. The cap can go up and you can use picks that you thought you would need to add what you need. And in the same time, you could showcase some other players and trade them when you need to. Let it happen naturally, because you're not going to be able to do what the Phillies do and pay everybody under the sun millions of dollars to run your offense. You're going to have some guys that aren't making a ton of money. And the guys that are, when it meshes together, that those kind of teams pull it together and make some noise. And yeah, you can still work some things when it is time to pay Michkov. I am struggling so hard. I am just going to acknowledge it now. I got the hiccups earlier in the game. I thought they went away. They've returned, and I'm doing the best I can. See?
Oh, my God.
I'm doing the best I can.
Hold your breath.
I tried doing that when you were talking. Anyway, if I had one wish, and that's a good wish, it'd be these hiccups to go away. No, my wish would be we really could use that number one defenseman, because I think it's easier to trade or sign a center than it is a defenseman to get it. And I know everybody loves Drysdale, but like, to get a true Pronger-esque defenseman somehow, some way, then you can let your offense run rampant at that point. And it would make your goaltending like so much better. Like, I want that number one defenseman. That means the world to me. That would do wonders for this team and its development.
There's a question here from Zach. Will Fedotov have a PTO where they sign him this summer? I would have a hard time believing they would go through all the trouble to bring him over to not sign him to some type of contract. You know, obviously, I don't know. I'm sure I could find out if I asked around a little bit more, Zach, but I would assume, you know, to finally get him here, they would offer him some type of deal, whether it's, you know, one-year deal, two-year deal. You know, we'll see what it is. Oakham's brought up Carter Yakimchuk twice here, Jack, and it's a little draft talk. Carter Yakimchuk at 12 might be that number one D-man in a right-hand shot. I don't know. It might be. Just I'm not sure that I've seen, I'm not sure that there's a bona fide 1D in this draft. And I got to be honest, I don't think there's going to be too many teams that are going to allow a number one defenseman to slide down to 12. So it's not a knock on Yakimchuk because I like him and I want the Flyers to take him. You know, and I guess maybe eventually he can be top, he'll be a top 4D. That's the thing drafting defense, right? Because they take a little longer to cook. And that's why I was so frustrated with the Flyers drafting D in the past, because I wanted to see these guys now in 1, 2, 3 years. Defense are going to take 3, 4, you know, sometimes longer to develop. But I love this. I love watching this kid play. He's got the bomb shot they need from the point. Tonight's a prime example. I mean, how were the two goals scored that actually had, goalies in the goal? They were shots from the outside, bodies in front. Two deflection goals. Bread and mother effing butter, man. What have the Flyers struggled to do? They've struggled to get traffic in goal and score around goal. You know, a lot of their offense has been transition. And I think towards the end of the year, after they traded Walker, that got a little tougher for them. Like Walker was a lot of what they did in transition. He's doing it with the Avalanche now. So he's actually been pretty legit, which has been, good for him, good for the player. But yeah, they're going to have to find new ways to score the puck next year because they got a little one dimensional as the season went on. Their power play, we haven't even talked about that. I don't even know if we really want to talk about that tonight. Yakimchuk's going to get you shots from the point. I mean, they're going to set him up for bombs. Who has a bomb on the Flyers' blue line? Ristolainen, and he's not playing, which I don't know what the deal is with him. I think I heard migraines is what's out there, and that leads you to believe concussions. It's just, that's he said, she said, so don't take that as gospel. But, Jack, you have a comment from Vegas Woe here. If Yzerman's there at 12, do you draft him over a D-man?
In this draft, I think I do. I'm you know me though. I'm always a best player available, and he's a winger. If I'm not wrong. Yeah. Like all the more reason to move multiple guys off your roster if you have the balls to do it to get what you need or get assets to potentially.
How do you still have the hiccups?
I do. I held my breath. I was turning blue, and I still had freaking hiccups. I'm trying to time it. It's not working.
The hiccup episode.
But I don't think he'll be there, as is stated in the comments. But I would, because I think he has the most potential at that point. And there's nobody else in this draft probably then, unless it's Bynum or a Beam. Sorry, Bynum. Shouldn't say that name in Philly. Yeah, Bynum. Like, even then, I probably still take Yzerman because this guy was going number 3 overall at some point. So it's hard for me to pass on that kind of talent and that kind of skill, because you can, if you have that, you can move on from other assets on your team and fill some needs. You know, this draft's going to be really weird what they do with where they're drafting at, and I don't see them moving up.
Yeah, it's where they're picking at is there's going to be a lot of what they already have on the roster. It's going to be wings and in my opinion, middle pair D. But that doesn't mean I'm not excited to pick a guy. I like Bouillon, like Yakimchuk. I think Bouillon will probably go top 10. Yakimchuk could be a top 10 guy too. So if he's there at 12, yeah, I'm jumping all over that. I mean, you can't have too many right-handed D, right? You'll have Bonk, Yakimchuk, Drysdale. You need a steady pipeline here, and eventually, and they can't all play. So eventually, some of these guys got to move on. And then on the left side, you got York. I know they like Sanheim on the right, but he's a left-handed guy. And then you have Emile Andre, who I would expect to see up on the team next year. So they have a lot of D. You saw Anaheim do it this year, right? They had an abundance of defense. an abundance of D, if you will. They traded Drysdale and got Carter Gauthier, who, as I mentioned, we will talk more about during the summer. You still have the hiccups. I saw your whole body move.
I'm shaking. I'm trying to hold my breath. I'm trying to figure it out.
But we won't stay on too much longer then.
I don't have enough hiccups to say fuck Cutter.
All right. So, I mean, we're getting into a little bit of draft talk here, which is good. You know, I mean, I think Flyers fans are sort of getting over the loss already. You know, it's done. Regular season's done. Oh, Zach's got a comment here. Might be best for another show. Any thoughts on what packaging in this year's first round picks could bring in? I have no idea. You know,
there's only one name that comes to mind, Jim. Sorry, I got ruined that. Zegras. It's the only one. Him and a player.
Would you do it? Would you do it for Zegras right now?
I don't know who. It depends on who the other player is. Like, how else are you bringing in a potential number one center?
See, that's my issue. I don't see him as a center. I see him as a wing. Like the same way, like, I'm just going to say this now, Berkeley Catton's going to get pumped a lot, especially, you know, now that the Flyers are picking 12th and maybe there's some outside shot. He falls to 12. Berkeley Catton, in my opinion, is a wing in the NHL. He's, you know, a smaller guy. He's a 5'10", 5'11". He's been playing wing for his WHL team. He's not a bona fide center. Berkeley Catton. And so the same thing with Zegras. Is he a bona fide center? If he is a legitimate center, then okay, sure. But if he's like doing this wing and center stuff, then I can't. It's going to be a tough sell for me.
Well, how much of that is on the team? It depends. Like, if we need a center, he's going to play center. And yeah. I can't remember when he was drafted what he was labeled as.
I thought he was a center.
I thought so, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's important to consider. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure the Flyers know what he is and what they want him to be kind of thing. And if they believe he can be a center and all that stuff, they'll figure all that out. And hey, if they trade for him, I'm going to assume that they're going to play him at center. So go for it. But, yeah, I mean, you need the 1C, so I guess I can't be mad for if they trade two firsts for Zegras and they put him as their 1C. How can I be mad at that?
Ninth overall, listed as a center from the 2019 draft. A couple other notable names went. Cam York, Cole Caulfield, just saying.
Yep, that was a
that Peyton Krebs deal could still be alive. I don't know how he finished this year, but we talked about that earlier in the year with Lawton and whatnot and what the Buffalo needs, what we need.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. So it's looking like it's closing time around here, Jack. So why don't we wrap this episode up? Boys and girls, everybody in the comment section, everybody who tuned in, everybody old and new, we want to thank you guys for hanging out with us for this episode. Thank you for hanging out with us for the year. You've made another season of this very special. And, you know, we're not done yet. The Flyers are done. We're not done. Obviously, we'll be talking playoffs. We'll be talking offseason. NHL draft is coming up. We'll have a lot of our past guests on, guys like Russ Cohen and the likes. You know, we make it fun. We look forward to that. It would have been nice to talk playoffs this year, but, you know, we'll get back to our usual stick around this time of year with the draft and free agency coming up. So hopefully it's a quick off season and we'll be talking, you know, Flyers hockey once again soon. So for Jack, I'm Jim. I want to thank you guys once again for hanging out. You've made everything, you know, you've made it fun, which is, you know, what we want. So we'll talk to you guys next week. Yeah, we're going to sign off for now. And one more. Let's go Flyers. I thought you were going to hiccup. Yeah.